How many of you know that God has a plan for your life? Well, obviously we should know that. If you don't, well, you do now. God has a plan for your life. But here's the kicker. His will for a Christian's life will always contain things that other people will say are impossible. Well, you can't do that. Or there's no way that would ever happen. Now, possible in the eyes of others means it's something that can be done and accomplished as a result of human effort. What other people call impossible is actually a result of faith. If God tells you to do something and you think, wow, yeah, I can do that. Why, anybody can do that. I mean, if that is the sum total of everything he tells you to do and it requires no faith to accomplish it, you're not hearing from God the way you think. Now, granted, there are things he's going to tell you to do that you can do. For example, Paul, I don't want you going to Asia. I want you going to Macedonia. Well, that's not, he can do that. You just saddle up and off you go. But there are going to be things that God's going to tell you to do that you think in and of yourself you cannot be done. These are the things that are absolutely critical for us because you have to make the commitment to do it. If you sit back and think, how in the world am I going to do this? Then you're not going to make the commitment. If you say, God, I don't know how, but I commit to doing this. That's what he needs. He needs your commitment that you'll do it before he can start working in you and through you to bring it to pass. Because if you just sit back and make a bunch of excuses, well, think about this. Remember God said, Moses, take off your shoes, holy ground. God says, look, the cry of the Jews has come up to my ears and, I'm going to get them out of Egypt. I'm going to use you to do it. So I'm going to send you back in there where there was a death warrant. Remember that? He killed a guy and, they had a warrant out for his arrest. And Moses says, well, I don't know about this, God. I can't because. And all the reasons that Moses gave, really in the natural, they were legitimate. I'm going to go before a dignitary and I can't even talk right. Well, you know what happened, don't you? God got a little upset. Remember that? Go back and read the story. God got a little upset and he said, all right, I'll tell you what. I'll let you take your brother with you. But I have chosen you to do this. Now, you know what? Moses had to say, okay, I'll do it, even though I still have some reservations on the inside. I'll do it. I'll go do it. That's what God needed to begin working in Moses to prepare him to go before Pharaoh. Well, you know what happened. By the time he got there, and you read the account in Scripture, it's almost like his attitude had changed. It's like he went before Pharaoh with a boldness. And he said, all right, time to let us go. Pharaoh says, I'll not do it. Moses said, you better. Now we want to go out and worship our God. Well, and you know how it all panned out. Until we make that decision that, yeah, okay, God, I'm going to do this. I don't know how. Well, of course you don't know how. He hasn't explained it to you yet. He hasn't begun moving on your behalf yet. But he needs a commitment from you. Open to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Now, when you get an instruction from God, all the things that he tells you to do that you know you can do, people are going to, well, that's good, I'm happy for you, blah, blah, so on, etc. But the moment that you start saying something, God told me to do this, and other people cannot in their minds rationally come up with a way for you to do this, it's impossible. You can't do it. That's when You need friends who know how to believe God. You don't need the naysayers. Do you remember what happened when Jesus went into his hometown? He's up there teaching and so forth, and people said, well, who is he? I mean, we know his whole family. He's a carpenter. And who does he think he is? Come in here and all this. And you know, the Bible says that he couldn't do any great mighty works. He got a few sick people healed. And he marveled at their unbelief. When you get around people who do not believe what God can do, even though they say God can do anything, when you get around Christians who have more doubt than belief, you don't need those kind of people in your circle of fellowship. I don't mean you can't be acquaintances, but you need people in your life who are going to support you. People who are going to be in agreement with you. People who will pray with you. People who may say, look, I don't understand how, but, you know, God can do this. So, you know, I'm just going to continue to believe with you that this is going to be accomplished in your life. Well, in Romans chapter 4, verse 1, it says, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It says, what are we going to say here about Abraham as it pertains to the flesh, or as it pertains to his works, his human efforts? Were those human efforts the things that justified him in the eyes of God? No. Because if it were by his human efforts, then yeah, he could stand up and talk about what he's accomplished, but it wouldn't be unto the glory of God, and it would not be a testimony unto God. But it says he believed God. He believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. In other words, righteousness was laid to his account. It was not imparted to him until later on. You know, I mean, after, you know, Jesus completed his work and led captivity captive and all that. He believed God, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. For us, righteousness has already been imparted. Therefore, we already have what you might call a leg up on Abraham. Here was a guy who was lost, but he believed God. Well, let's continue with this. In verse 11, it says, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. He received the sign of circumcision, obviously, you know, outward sign, the physical sign of circumcision. However, when you go over, you don't have to turn to it, but in Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, it talks about how that our circumcision as Christians is the circumcision of the heart. Abraham had the sign of circumcision outwardly. We have the sign of circumcision inwardly. The old sin, lost nature has been circumcised away from our hearts. Now, what does it take to believe that? It takes faith. It takes faith to believe that the old lost sin nature has been circumcised or cut away from our hearts. Now, anytime a Christian says something like, we as Christians still have a sin nature, when a preacher stands up and preaches that, what that Christian or that preacher is telling you is, I do not believe what God's Word has to say. I do not believe that a Christian's heart has been circumcised of the sin nature. I believe God left it there, regardless of what Jesus accomplished and regardless of our faith in Him. Now, I don't think I'd want to be lumped in that category. Because what you're really doing is saying, I'm not born again. Because the moment we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and that old sin nature is removed or circumcised from our hearts, we have a new nature. We are born again with God's life and nature. So therefore, why in the world would I not want to believe that I've been changed? So he received the outward sign, but we've received the inward sign, and it requires us to believe this has happened. Well, if you come to the place of believing that this has happened and that you're not what you used to be, you ought to be able to comprehend, I don't have to do the things associated with what my sin nature meant to me. The thing that has been circumcised away from me, that means I no longer have to do those things. That means I am no longer under its dictates. It means I don't have to be like that at all. Period. While that kind of flies in the face of what some Christians believe, it's inevitable, you're going to sin sooner or later. That's just the way it is in this life. But if I understand that I've been circumcised, my heart has been purged of that old sin nature, then I ought to be able to come to the place of understanding. I mean, if I believe that, I ought to be able to come to the place of understanding I don't have to live that way anymore. In fact, for me to say, I just couldn't help myself, that means one of two things. I do not believe what's happened to me, or I'm not really saved. One of the two. So he says, look, Abraham received this outward sign. Jump to verse 13. It said, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, the Jews, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, isn't that interesting? That which is of the law. Well, he's identifying the Jews. But then he doesn't say Gentiles or Greeks. He says, but to that also, which is of the faith of Abraham. Do you realize what he's saying here? He's telling you Abraham was not a Jew. He's telling you that Abraham was not under the law. Abraham wasn't a Jew. Okay, remember, it was Abraham, then his son Isaac, then his son, who was the next guy? And what did Jacob's name become? Israel, all right? It was Abraham's grandson who became Israel. And so here he's saying, what he's trying to do is identify, I'll say it like this, this whole thing started with a Gentile. It started with a non-Jew. Well, that messed some people's theology up big time, but that's what he says. Now, look here. He said that it's a faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I, God, have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able also to perform. Now think about this. There's a lot we could learn here. If you take a look in verses 19 through 21, it says that Abraham, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Now, what does that mean? Well, What it means is he was incapable of his husbandly functions. Okay? Likewise, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. His body was dead. Her womb was dead. Okay? I know you're getting this. Meaning, she couldn't conceive even if she wanted to. So we have a 100-year-old man and his wife. There's no way this is going to happen. I don't care what kind of pills you have. There is no way this is going to happen. And it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. So, the question then is, what causes you to stagger at a promise of God? Unbelief. There's the answer. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able also to perform. Abraham, when did Abraham receive this promise of a child? It was like 25 years before this. So Abraham is giving glory to God that God's going to be able to do this. He gave glory to God before ever seeing the promise become more than just a promise, but turn into a natural manifestation. Now, I'm not trying to get gross here, but do you realize the first natural manifestation was the undeadness of his body? His ability to be husbandly again? That was the first manifestation of the promise. And the rest of the manifestation, you know what it was. This persuasion, notice it says here, he was fully persuaded, meaning you can say what you want, but I am fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. This persuasion came exclusively from God's promise. But now think about this. It was a promise that had not been recorded in Scripture because there was no Scripture. Think about this. We can turn back to Genesis and we can read this whole story. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so we turn back and read it. It's like, oh, praise God, what a story. Man, this is wonderful. Hallelujah. Look at this. Read it again. Read it again. Read it again. Abraham didn't have anything to read. We don't even know if he could read. He didn't have anything to read. All he had was what he heard from God. That's it. That's all he had to go by. And then God came along and he says, now, paraphrasing, God said, you know, Abram, the Bible hasn't been written yet. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to change your name to Abraham. And from now on, you call yourself what I call you. Let that sink in. You call yourself what I call you. I call you the father of many nations. The word or the name Abraham means, you know, father of many. So from now on, your name is Abraham. When you go and you get your driver's license renewed, you make sure they put Abraham on there, not Abram. You understand that? Go to the bank. Change your checking account. Have Abraham put on there. All of your name tags, have them changed to Abraham. You call you what I call you. So from then on, I'm Abraham. And there were doubters. I'm sure there must have been some people. No, you're Abram. No, I'm Abraham. No, you're Abram. Well, who told you you're Abraham? God. Yeah, right. God's calling you the father of many nations, father of a multitude. Yeah, right. That's what God said. And God said, but Abraham, I'm not going to stop there. Here's what I want you to do. Tonight, before you go in your tent to sleep, I want you to look up at the sky. I want you to see all those stars. And I want you to just imagine that every one of those stars represents an offspring down through the ages. And then in the morning when you get up, I want you to go outside your tent. I want you to look down at all the grains of the sand and count them. And Abraham, I'm sure he's saying, do what? Well, Abraham, you can't. There's too many. But in the daytime, I want you to look at the grains of the sand and just imagine every one of them is like a seed of your offspring. And at night, those stars are like the seed of your offspring. And your name has been changed. Abraham, you don't have anything in writing, but what you have is what I've said to you. From now on, this is what I want you to see. God gave Abraham his word. Then Abraham took the word and changed what he saw. And he began to see things from God's perspective. Now, he didn't literally see, you know, babies and people when he looked at the stars or the grains of sand. However, I have no doubt that at night, he's there in his tent, and he began to envision people. Just his imagination. He began to see, or try to see, he tried to humanize what he saw in the stars or in this grains of sand. Does that make sense? That's just the way people are, right? It says here that he was fully persuaded, but he had no scripture. Absolutely none. Now, what do we have? We have a Genesis to Revelation scripture of what God has said. We have more than what Abraham had. Now, in verse 17, notice this. It says, well, in fact, kind of jump in the middle of this, where it says, before him whom he believed, even God, Abraham believed God, and God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. He calleth those things which be not as though they were. Leave your finger here and look over in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You're going to see this stated a little bit differently. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, what he's telling you here in verse 18 is, we can't ignore the things in the natural. Obviously, you can't. I mean, they're there. They're right in front of you. So think of it like this. While we do not focus on and esteem the things which are seen to be of the greater value in our lives, but we look at the spiritual things which cannot be seen with human eyes, and that is what we esteem to the higher place in our lives. Because the things which can be seen with human eyes are temporary, but the things that we see in the Spirit, those are the things which are eternal. How do you get to verse 18, what we just read here? You have to have some kind of a standard or a platform. There has to be something that is presented to you that enables you to look beyond what you see in the natural. Well, what is that something? It's the Word of God. It's the same thing that Abraham had. The thing is, with Abraham, all he had was, say, the verbal communication from God. But what we now have is that which is written. Which do you think has the advantage? Having to live every day only with what you heard 25 years ago? Or having the ability to live every day and look again and again and again and again and read it over and over? And who has the advantage here? It's us. It's us. And Abraham took what God spoke to him, and he allowed that to recreate what he saw in his life. Now, he did not deny, here's my wife, never given birth, body's dead. Here I am, you know, 90 years old, 92 years old, 95 years old. I am dead. I mean, okay, my body's dead. We can't have kids by virtue of what you see. But I'm looking at the grains of the sand. I'm looking at the stars in the sky. And I'm remembering the Word of God. And the Word of God has changed my perception of the stars in the sky and the grains of sand. I no longer see it for what it is. I see it for what God has told me it represents. It represents my nations, my people, my offspring, my heritage. That's what this represents to me. So I no longer see just the sand or just the stars. I see the promise of God. That's what I live by. The promise of God, the Word of God, has restructured my sight, my vision. Now here we have the Word of God. Go ahead and turn back over to Romans 4. This same process is supposed to be working for us. We are supposed to call things that be not as though they are. Now, here's where Christians get messed up. I'm calling my new Cadillac into my garage. Now, you guys know I'm talking. I'm talking truth here. Well, I'm calling that man my husband. Well, he's already married. I call his wife dead. It does not work. Sorry. Let me state this a little bit differently. The things we call which be not as though they are must be the promises of God, because those are the only things His Word supports. When I begin to call those things which be not as though they were, it has to be something I find in Scripture, not something a preacher told me I can call into existence. You understand what I mean? Unless the preacher is saying, take the Word of God and call it into it. You see what I'm saying here? Difference. So, I can't just shoot my mouth off and call crazy things. I have to take the Word of God, like Abraham did, and begin to call those things which be not as though they are. I am no longer childless Abram. I am Abraham. I call myself Abraham. Yeah, but you don't have any kids. Well, God's Word says I am Abraham, the father of many. So I call myself Abraham. Yeah, but you don't have... Hold on. I know what you're saying. But you see those stars? Yeah, they're all over the place. Okay, that's my offspring. Abraham, you're weird. No, you don't understand. God said for me to see the stars, and that represents my heritage. You see the grains of sand? Yeah, well, again, God said, so what you look at are stars in the sky. What you look at is dirt. What I look at is the representation of God's manifested promise. That's how I see this. His Word has changed my perception of the natural. His Word has changed my perception, what I see of my life. And I no longer see myself childless, even though I currently am childless. I'm not looking at the things which are temporal. I'm looking at those things which be eternal. God's word has changed the way I see things. Calling things that aren't as though they were. Calling things that be not as though they are. For example, my life is a mess. I just can't take anymore. I'm just always down. I'm always depressed. Okay, now what does the Word of God say? Jesus said that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and Holy Ghost. Love, power, and a sound mind. God's Word says that He's given us the peace that passes all understanding. God's Word says that we have access to joy unspeakable and full of glory. Okay, that is what God's Word says. Now, you can't get away from that. Here is the temporal, earthly reality of your life. Depression. I just don't feel good. I just don't, you know, I'm just down all the time. Nothing goes right. Okay. What's God's Word? What does the Word say? What's it say? Well, it says Jesus. He said, let not your heart be troubled. And He said, peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. You know, God says He gives me joy unspeakable and full of glory. All right, that's what God's Word has to say. Is it doing anything for you? If this is what God's Word says, this is how God speaks over you. This is what God calls you. He says, now allow me a little liberty here. He says, you are joy unspeakable and full of glory. You are the peace that passes. You live in the peace that passes all under. This is God's declaration of us. God's declaration over Abram was that you are Abraham, the father of. That's going to be 25 years before it manifests, but this is what I call you. Abraham took that word, a guy that was lost, not even born again, he took that word and he allowed it to repaint his life. He took that word and allowed it to recreate his vision of himself. Now, if God has said that we have access to the joy unspeakable and full of glory, that we have access to the peace that passes all understanding, that I have a sound mind, etc., etc., if that's what He says, then you know what? I will never live in depression or, you know, any other kind of emotional distress. I didn't say I'll never face challenges, okay? But I won't live in all of that when I allow the Word of God to paint the image of who I am. When I embrace that promise, I make it mine, and I begin to see myself not bound or controlled by the temporal circumstances that do exist, but I begin to see myself in accordance with what God has said here. And I begin to call myself happy, joyful, peaceful. Even though my emotions aren't there yet, I begin to call me what God has said. Not some pie in the sky hope that, you know, like a carrot that a preacher's dangled out there in front of me. I take the Word of God and I begin to allow it to change my vision. I begin to see with Abrahamic eyes. I begin to look at me the way God has said. Look at verse 20. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God. How? Through unbelief. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He gave glory to God before he ever had the child. Before Isaac ever came along, he gave glory to God. I am Abraham. I am the father of many, and so on and so forth. He gave glory to God. He was strong in faith. There was no unbelief. He staggered not at the promise of God. He staggered not. What happens when somebody gets drunk, really drunk? They stagger. Why are they staggering? It's because the alcohol has impaired their ability to function correctly. Unbelief is spiritual alcohol. It will impair your ability to function as a normal Christian. The body of Christ in the world defines normal Christianity according to circumstances. God defines normal Christianity by the life of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's a normal Christian. He staggered not. Now leave your marker here. I want you to see kind of a parallel passage. It's over in James. James chapter 1. See, if Satan can cloud your vision, he can stop you. You know, you take somebody that's drunk enough, and you say, well, there's your car over there, and it may take them a half hour to go 10 feet. They're staggering all over the place. I know it's there somewhere. I know it's there somewhere. And they might fall down 10 times before they make it to the car. Of course, you don't give them the keys, right? You don't give them the keys. But you understand the imagery here. Well, in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering or nothing staggering. For he that staggereth or he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed, like a drunk man who's had too much to drink, and he is driven and tossed, can't walk straight. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything. Anything. Do you see? No, what am I asking for? He starts out, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. But then he says, you need to ask in faith, nothing wavering, because he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive not just wisdom, but anything. 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 What we've just discovered right here is the reason why a lot of Christians never see healing manifest in their body. See, the Word of God paints the image of a healed body. My body is trying to tell me there's no healing available for you. God says, well, now, wait a minute, no. By my Son's stripes you were healed. I sent my word and healed you and delivered you from all destructions. Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. Okay, that's the image that I speak over you. But it's up to you whether or not you take that word and allow it to paint the image of healed inside you. He's not saying ignore the physical circumstances. He didn't tell Abraham, ignore the physical circumstances. He told Abraham, exalt my word above your physical circumstances. See the difference in this? Here he says, don't let that double-minded man, that wavering, that staggering man, think he's going to receive anything of the Lord because he's double-minded. And a double-minded man is unstable, or he wavereth, or he staggers in his ways. He vacillates between what he believes and what he doesn't believe. Are we not discovering things about ourselves, sadly, in this? Not me, Brother Martin, but that person sitting next to me, yeah, that's them. Now look back over in Romans chapter 4. Let that man get it through his head that if he staggereth, if he wavereth, he's double-minded, and he is not going to receive anything from the Lord. Now, I got to tell you something. That's powerful. Especially with all these people out there that are telling you the grace of God will bring these things to pass. You just go ahead and live your life. No. He says right here, you better have faith. Well, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Build yourself up on your most holy faith by praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's Scripture. That's the Word of God. Here in Romans chapter 4, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He staggered not. He did not tell God it can't be done. How many times on the inside of us have we told God it can't be done? I mean, we don't say that openly, but on the inside, man, I just don't know. I just don't know. I just... We're wavering. We're staggering. We're considering the natural circumstances. You know, if God shows up one day while I'm praying and he says, "All right, Pastor Jim, time for you to move out of this building and you and this church go into a new building." Oh, God, have you seen our bank account? He says, "Yeah." Well, don't you know how much things cost nowadays? He said, "Well, yeah, I do. Do you know the property values around here? Oh, maybe we could find an old repoed building somewhere." Isn't that how a lot of people do it, though? Seriously. If he says, do it, then you know what? I'm plumb fool if I start looking at the circumstances and saying it can't be done. Because if he says, do it, do you know what that means? That means he's already got a plan for it to happen. If I begin staggering, wavering, double-minded-ing, guess what? He's already said, you're not going to receive anything. You're not going to receive anything. Anything. What falls into the category of anything? Everything. He says, you're not going to. Abraham staggered not. He said, well, I don't understand how. But if you say it, all right. I'm no longer Abram, I'm Abraham. Here we are today. Well, God, all right. I don't understand how. But if you say it, all right. I'm no longer sick, gonna die. I'm healed, gonna live. Now, I know the doctor said so, and hey, listen. Don't anybody take what I'm sharing tonight as an instruction not to go to a doctor. I mean it. Don't you dare walk away from here. Well, he said don't go to no doctors. No, I didn't say that. Didn't say it. The doctors are going to give you their report. That's what you went for, right? I mean, okay, if you walked in there and you know, your arm's hanging off like this, and you ask the doctor what's wrong, and the doctor looks at you and says, well, ain't nothing wrong with your arm. That bone's supposed to stick out like that. It's hanging there like that. No, you're paying the doctor to give you an evaluation, a diagnosis based on the natural circumstances, okay? That's what you go to the doctor for. I'm not saying don't do that. But what God is saying is exalt His Word above the natural diagnosis. Well, okay, you know, the arm's out there like that. The doctor says, well, I want to put it in the cast. Well, let him put it in the cast. You know, I mean, don't just stand there and bleed to death. I mean, do something. Do you understand what I'm telling you? But exalt the Word of God. Let the Word of God paint the image of a healed arm. Well, if you say it, God, I'm no longer distressed. I am peaced. P-E-A-C-E-D. I'm peaced. I made up that word. You can use it if you want to. Praise God. I am joyed. I am happied. You understand what I mean? In other words, okay, here are the circumstances, but I'm letting the Word of God repaint what I see. I'm letting the Word of God change my perception. I'm seeing things according to His Word, not according to my circumstances. If you stagger, you're not going to receive these things that God has promised. You know, one of the best things we could do is just ask Him, am I staggering in life? Am I wavering? Am I double-minded? Help me see this. You know, I got a feeling that I, along with you, are more double-minded than what we'd like to think. And he says, look, you can't live like that and expect to receive everything from God. Now look over in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And take a look at this, because it fits right into everything that we're sharing here tonight. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Jump in the middle of this. It says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know What is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? You see this? Now you don't have to turn to it, but in Psalm chapter 119, verse 130, it says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple." The simple meaning those who don't currently understand. "The entrance of thy words giveth light." Here he says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." What are the eyes of my understanding? Say it like this, my spiritual eyes. That on the inside of me, I begin developing a completely different perception of what I am, who I am, what I have, what I can do, and whatever God's will is. Remember back at the beginning of this message I shared that God's will for a Christian, parts of it are going to be things you cannot accomplish on your own. God's will for Abraham was, have a kid with Sarah. Now, when he told Abraham, pack up your bags and leave home, he could do that under his own strength and power. But when he said, have a baby, Abraham says, now wait a second. Do what? He said, just hang on. It'll be, you know, you got 25 years to go when your body is good and dead and her womb is good and dead. That is when I'm going to move. Do you believe me? Well, I never heard of such a thing before, but okay, if that's what you say, and I'll be Abraham from now on. Stars and sand. Yep, my kids, my offspring. He staggered not. He staggered not. What has God told you that maybe you're staggering at? The entrance of his word giveth light. The entrance of his words giveth light. Now, what has he told you relative to his will for your life? Do you realize those are his words to you? The Bible contains his words to the entire world, but relative tonight, to body of Christ, okay? But his specific will for you, those are his words to you, and the entrance of those words giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. What has he told you to do? His words, his instructions to you relative to his will, the confirmation that those things can be accomplished is contained here in Scripture. Whatever he's told you to do, you can do it. Other people around you, you know, they may disagree. They may say, well, I just don't know how you're going to do that. I remember when God told me, you know, start a Bible college. Okay, I can do that. Then he says, by the way, don't charge for tuition. Do what? Don't charge for tuition. Don't charge for course materials. Don't charge for anything. Seriously, God. Yeah, seriously, Jim. Don't charge for anything. Okay, I'll do it. Not a problem. Let's go. And then when I would tell other people, there were Christians, some of whom I thought knew better. Well, how are you going to pay for everything? Well, how are you going to make it? How are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? And I remember some of them, when they would be saying this, I'm thinking, excuse me, I've heard you're supposed to be a faith preacher, and you're asking me how? I'll give you an answer. I don't know. God said do it. That means somehow, some way, he's going to provide what is necessary. And you know what? He has. Isn't that amazing? He stood behind his word. But the evidence that he would do it is contained here in Scripture. All the things that he's told people to do, and he provided for them to be able to do it. See, I have the record of that in here. The entrance of his words begins to change the image of what we see in the natural, our perception, our understanding of it. It changes the boundaries that we live by. Because when we take a look at what's going on in the natural, you know, there are a lot of things that you can't do. Well, of course you can't. But according to his word, you can. That's where we have to take the word of God. And I mean, there's nothing else that works. You have to get into it and get into it, me, all of us, and allow it to begin to paint the image of success in our lives. To where we begin to see things. Yeah, the natural's there. We know that. But His Word says you're no longer bound by all the stuff you see in the natural. All the things that tell you it can't be done. My Word takes you to a higher level. You begin to see beyond, let me say it like this, the deadness of your body. You begin to see beyond the deadness of your spiritual womb and realize that My Word, as a seed sown, will bring about a conception in your spiritual womb, and the day is coming. You will give birth into the natural of that which I have decreed for you. But the entrance of My words must take place, because it gives you the light of what you're supposed to see. And your understanding will be enlightened by My words. And no longer are you going to be bound by what you don't think can be done. You're going to say, hey, look, I don't know how, but I know God said, and therefore it will. It's going to happen. This takes effort on our part. Because we're not used to living like this. And we're not used to having Christians support us in this concept. But yet it's the Word of God. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean God can't do it in another person's life. We need to get to this place to where not only has our image, what we see, been changed on the inside of us, but we're at the place of standing together with somebody and saying, let me use imagery here. All right, you're going to call yourself Abraham, then I'm going to call myself Sarah. And I will be your spiritual helpmeet and stand in agreement with you to see this thing done. Don't know that I'll be able to do anything for you in the natural. I don't know what that would be. But I will be a Sarah. Do you understand what that means? That the representation. I will be that to you and stand with you in agreement. And I will call you an Abraham. I will call you healed. I will call you peace. You understand? I know you understand what I'm talking about. Those are the kind of people we need around us. I need you to be like that with me, and you need me to be like that with you, and you need each other to be like that with. And those of you watching, you need us to be like that with you, and you need to be like that with us. Just because we're separated by a gazillion miles, all of you in St. Thomas, man, you need us to be like that with you. I'm like that with you. All of you in Oshawa, same. All of you down there in South Africa, that's what you need. All of you over there in Pakistan watching this, India watching this. All of you over there in the Philippines, in Japan, all of you who are watching this around the world, you need this with us and we need this with you. Praise God. Let the Word of God change your eyes. Get some seeing with Abrahamic eyes. And don't stagger in unbelief, but become fully persuaded that whatever He's promised, He is able to do. Praise the Lord.